Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. After Oklahoma State somehow, some way, beats Texas in Austin, it was one of the strangest games I've ever seen, and it sparked the flames of a thousand fury out of Kyle Porter, the founder, the publisher, the editor emeritus of PistolsFiringBlog.com. Kyle, are you still on fire about the Texas ordeal?
How far are you trying to distance yourself right now with giving me like 15 labels for my website? You want no part of what has been written on Pistols Firing this week.
I was laying it on pretty thick, wasn't I? I am surprised how much, I don't know, I don't want to say vitriol, but you're angry towards Texas for how they've handled the whole referee situation, just how the whole game went down.
Well,
why is that?
It's just, I don't know. The Texas thing, and it's not a Texas thing specifically. I think it's any program that just acts like they are above the fray, and then when something bad goes their way, they just freak out. And it's like, well, this happens. Like, I get that you're upset, but, like, this is what happens to bad teams, you know? Like, they get bad calls. It feels like everything is going against you. And we can talk about, you know, I don't know if you saw the stat about the referee or the head official who – Texas has gotten more penalties with their crew than any other crew in the Big 12. But I don't know. Texas fans, it annoys me that all of a sudden, because something happened to them, the Big 12 has a problem. Maybe the Big 12 just has a problem. It doesn't mean it's you know, this is, like I said, this is how my kids act. Like, they're fine with authority until the authority turns on them. And it's just like, I don't know. I just feel like they've been pretty petulant about the whole thing.
Well, I understand that part of it. And who's gotten more calls than Texas? I mean, you want to talk about getting gifts from the officials. Texas has a long history that, I mean, over all the years. And I really have a problem. Like, I was at the game, and about 95% of the flags were justified. Like, Texas is just a bad football team. They make mistakes.
Yeah.
They interfered with the receivers all day long. Like, most of the calls were legit. The only one I really had a problem with was the defensive holding. You never see that called in the college level. You see it sometimes in the pros. But other than that, there was nothing egregious. It just happened to take back a big play from Texas every single time. And I think that's what really made them go insane. It seemed like every time Texas had a play go their way, there were very few on offense, it was flagged. So it was more of a timing deal than I think the overall flags. And Big 12 refs are incompetent. We've seen this. We've seen this since the league was formed. Remember, there's a Twitter account at Big 12 refs that makes like jokes about how bad they are, about how blind they are.
It's a good Twitter account. It's funny.
It's great. It's one of my favorite. It's nothing new. So for Texas to act like they were cheated, and I guess there was a blog post that even accused the Big 12 of racism, which just that's when it goes completely off the rails. You have no credibility anymore. Just stop talking. So I guess the more I talk to you, the more I'm on your side here.
It was unbelievable. So one of the penalties that they were so upset about was the Charlie Strong unsportsmanlike conduct. But after the game, like immediately after the game, when Strong was interviewed, he basically admitted to going over the edge, like saying something that he shouldn't have said. He didn't say what it was, but he was asked, you know, did you get penalized for just asking the official what happened? And he goes, no, I said a little bit more than that. And it's like, yeah, of course you did. Like, you're not going to get a flag thrown on you just for asking about a call. So I don't know. Did you see the stat though about the ref that's or the officiating crew that's penalized Texas more than any other crew?
Yeah, I saw that. But aren't they? I think I saw another stat where they're one of them. Their crew just in general throws more flags. Did you see that one too?
Not sure. No, I didn't. But my other question was like, how many of those games have come in the Charlie Strong era, which has been? Texas has been really penalized the last couple of years. I think last year they finished like in the bottom 30 or so in FBS and penalties. So it's not like, you know, it's cherry picking a stat a little bit. I'd like to see a little bit more information on that.
Yeah, and it's like Ed Hightower in college basketball. You know, they might just be a bad crew. You know, when that guy's in town,
yeah,
there's going to be bad calls, there's going to be technical fouls. It could be something along the same lines. So for them to try and paint this picture that this crew just has it out for Texas, I just don't think it's accurate. Now, was it a poorly called game, a poorly played game? So everyone should be ashamed after witnessing that game, to be honest with you.
I mean, I think Baylor and TCU fans were watching that being like, I mean, we got to win one game this year. Just beat each other. That's it.
OU, too. OU was like,
yeah,
Red River rivalry, Bedlam. Chalk it up as a win. These two teams stink.
What did you think about Hurd? You were on the field. Were you hanging out with McConaughey? What was going on there?
I was hovering a little too close to Matthew McConaughey, just wanting a picture really bad, but I didn't have the nerve to go ask him. No, it was funny. Like, I got down to the field level, and I'm walking toward the sideline because, you know, before the game, there's chances just to go, you know, go see all the guys when they're warming up and get video of them you normally can't get. And I'm walking down the sideline. I'm kind of looking toward the field, not paying attention to what's in front of me. And I kind of turn and look straight ahead, and I'm face-to-face with somebody. And I'm like, oh, sorry, my bad. And I kind of walk around them. And I stop, like, dead in my tracks. I go, was that Matthew McConaughey dressed as a coach? And I turn around, and it's Matthew McConaughey dressed as a Texas coach with a black hat that says all right and sunglasses. It was really hard to recognize him. And he was, like, rocking the dad bod. He had a big gut.
Yeah, he did not look great.
It was surreal just to see him in person, and then to see him in that state was just weird. I think hopefully he's preparing for a role or something. But he was down there, and then Kevin Durant was down there. They were hanging out. It was the Texas alumni section is really hard to beat. I gotta say.
Yeah.
So that was big time. The game itself was just brutally hot. I've been to a lot of games. That was one of the hottest games I've ever been at. Like the turf is so hot down there. Gundy even said it was like 120 degrees or something crazy on the field.
And Glenn Spencer, long sleeve jacket.
I just no cares yeah, at all. Just. Warrior poets sweat during games. That's probably what he was singing. But no, as far as Jerod Hurd, I was impressed. I mean, Texas wasn't even pretending to throw the football
down the
field. I mean, that's the big takeaway I have is, yeah, the OSU defense looked great, but Texas is pretty inept. Now, I think Jerod Hurd's got a chance to be really good. He's so hard to tackle.
Yeah.
He is really hard to tackle. And maybe one of the most impressive plays I saw was, I think it was Jimmy Bean, who just chased him down, was step for step with him all the way across the field and forced him out of bounds. So I was impressed with him. He needs to work on his throwing, but by the time he's an upperclassman, he's going to be a handful.
Yeah, he is, and Gundy said that. Gundy, he said something like, I thought he was going to make more plays than he did or something. I don't think he meant it as a shot. Like, I think that he thought Oklahoma State's defense did a really good job. And Jimmy Bean, he's a good ball player. Ogbo was amazing. I mean, Oklahoma State's defensive line right now is very good. It will be interesting to see them come upon like a Boykin who can run it and he can throw it. Like, you're right. I mean, the first half, it was like Texas ran like three plays. And two of them were, you know, one of them was Hurd running to the left. The other was Hurd running to the right. Like, that, they didn't, you're right.
And then they would just throw it to Daje Johnson and hope he, like, made people miss. Like, yeah. That was their offense.
Yeah, they didn't throw it over the middle. They didn't throw it downfield. And whatever, like, that's their prerogative. But how about Oklahoma State's offense in the first quarter?
I mean, I thought that was going to happen the whole game.
Like, I did, too.
Their receivers could get open anytime they wanted. What? I mean, someone was open on every play. And I don't know what changed. I mean, I do know what changed. Mason Rudolph pulled a Landry Jones, and
yikes.
Gundy and the boys got a little tight over there on the sideline, and we're like, oh, no, here we go. And they got away completely from what they're good at. Like it's clear to me, Kyle, you and I have been very hard on Mike Yurcich. And yeah. rightfully so. The offense has gone to hell since he's been hired. Now, and he's the offensive coordinator. So that comes with the territory. That's just part of it. But the more I think about it and the more I watch OSU football, the more I think back, this is Mike Gundy. Like, this is who he is. This is what he wants to do. Like, he didn't bring in a guy from Shippensburg to just call his own shots and not have a say. Like, this, that game reminded me so much of Bedlam games over the years, it's not even funny. Like, I go back to the freezing cold game in Stillwater. They're a much better team. What do? They just run the ball. Let's just run the ball, be safe, don't do anything stupid, and they get beat on, like, you know, a fake field goal by OU. And the one drive on that game they had to score, bing, bang, boom, down the field, touchdown. Oh, well, you should have been doing that all game. I go back to the 2009 Bedlam game in Norman when they got shut out. That game was a lot closer than people remember. All he was doing was handing it off on third and long and punting and hoping his defense, which was really good that year, made a play. It was the same strategy at Texas, but Texas somehow gave him the win. So Mike Gundy has shown in the past, when he's in charge of the offense, they can get uber conservative and play not to lose. And that's exactly what happened in Austin. And the more I think about it, I'm starting to blame Mike Gundy more for the offensive ineptitude than I am Mike Yurcich.
Yeah, Robert Wetzel of Cowboys Ride for Free basically wrote exactly what you said today and said that, you know, this is on Gundy. I guess I just don't understand. I mean, things worked so well under Holgorsen and Todd Monken, and maybe that was just because of Brandon Weeden. Why Gundy would feel the need to kind of assume more authority over the offense if that's what he did. And I agree with you. It does look like that. And it's just like, I mean, coming out of halftime, you know, Gundy was interviewed and he said something like, well, we faltered at the end of the first half because we got to get back to running the ball well, like we did early on. The first two drives, they ran for 11 yards. Like they were not running. Like they were throwing it. They threw for, I think it was 119 yards on the first two drives, and Rudolph looked awesome. And it's not like he was making these dangerous throws. You know, he threw a couple of balls over the middle, but it wasn't like, you know, throwing into double coverage. Like, he makes good decisions, and I just don't understand the, like why Gundy is so adamant about running the ball. You know,
in the post game, it's like he didn't even realize how adamant he was. Like, John Hoover brought up, he was like, why were you so conservative after your first two drives? He was like, well, we weren't. We were throwing the ball around. And Hoover brought up, I don't have the stats in front of me, but he brought up how many times they ran the ball in the first half. And he's like, oh, well, I guess maybe we were. And everyone kind of laughed. And it goes back to, well, just think back when he was the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
It was very similar type offense. It was not a wide open throw the ball offense. It was a very methodical, conservative running game offense. Now, he had Kendall Hunter, and it looked a lot better. And when he lost Dez Bryant, that really just crushed the offense. But they brought in Dana Holgorsen for this very reason we're seeing now, right? They were very conservative, didn't score enough points, got shut out in Norman. I mean, who knows if he brought in Holgorsen on his own or if that was forced. We'll never know. But the fact is, he brought in an offensive coordinator who had total autonomy. Like, Dana Holgorsen did whatever the hell he wanted. That's pretty clear. And then Todd Monken, him and they were boys, but we all know the type of guy Todd Monken is. Like, that guy's going to do what he wants too. So it seems to me like he now has an offensive coordinator that will basically do whatever he wants. And he basically said, we're going to lose this game where we throw another pass to the other team. So we're going to hand it off and punt and hope our defense does something crazy.
Well, and even in the post game, you know, he was talking about, he was almost proud of himself because he was like, hey, my plan worked. You know, we ran the ball.
I mean, is he not getting just roasted today if Texas doesn't, you know, completely give them the game? Well, I mean, he's getting roasted, right?
Yeah, his plan didn't work. They ran for like 1 yard on the final two drives. And like you said, we're gifted the game, and
well, and the biggest problem I had was, okay, if you're on your own, like that possession they had on their own side of the 50 when they brought in Walsh and did the quarterback carousel, which we can talk about next. That, I mean, I kind of see, you know, flipping the field, maybe giving your defense a shot. But when they get the ball, thanks to all those penalties, with a chance to win the game inside the 20, and they hand it off 3 straight times for 1 yard and kick a field goal just to get it to overtime, they're not winning that game in overtime. No chance. They gained 1 yard in the fourth quarter. So to play not to win there, to me, if they lose that game, I mean, Mike Gundy should have his feet called to the fire for that. I mean, inside the 20, you're down 3 points, and you don't try to score a touchdown to win the game? You don't have one play you can run that'll get somebody open to score? That, to me, was amazing. Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, it really was, and I don't know. I don't I don't want to be the guy that's like, you know, the fire everybody guy, I guess we'll call him. But
I mean, Gunny is a great coach, done an incredible job at OSU. But man, there's still some. Me and Brian Keating were talking about this at the office the other day. There's still some, you know, he came up under Pat Jones. There's still some Pat Jones in his coaching style as far as just hand the ball off, you know, don't do anything stupid, don't do anything crazy, let your defense play. And, like, there's some of that in him, and it rears its ugly head sometimes, especially in games against the big boys like Texas and OU.
Well, and the strange thing to me is that he's not – I don't think he is a conservative, by-the-book coach in, like, every other area. Like, he doesn't – he doesn't kind of adhere to the notion that you have to recruit 4- and 5-star guys. He kind of does his own thing in recruiting. The no hitting thing in practice has always been a big thing with him, and he got criticized for a lot of that stuff. And I don't know, he does outside the box things, but then when it comes to the offense, it's like he's so scared of Rudolph turning it over or throwing picks or whatever that he can't bring himself to open it up. I don't know. I just don't get it, I guess.
Yeah, and it's just the most amazing thing about him is he played quarterback, and it seems to me no matter what happens, he picks the wrong one. I mean, Mason Rudolph came in out of sheer need through injury. Now, maybe he would have been the starter regardless. We'll never know. But the way they handled the quarterbacks, too, to me, was just an atrocity. I mean, yes, Rudolph, something was wrong with Rudolph. We can agree on that, right? Like, they made up some weak excuse at the presser that he had, like, a numb finger or something, which I didn't really think about because he didn't have anything on his hands in postgame. Like, J.W. Walsh had a huge ice pack on his hand after the game. It's like, oh, that's interesting, but Rudolph had nothing on his hands. Now, maybe he had something later after the media was over, but something had to be wrong, right? We've never seen him throw wounded ducks like he was throwing during that game.
I think what was wrong is he realized Oklahoma State's undefeated, playing on the road in the Big 12 in a game they should win, and he wasn't playing well. I mean,
he had a bad game. Like, that's obvious, and I loved what you said. I think it was you that brought up how many interceptions that Whedon has had. Whedon had 26 picks in 2 years as a starter. Mason Rudolph's going to throw some interceptions, but he's your franchise. He's your quarterback. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Why are you bringing in J.W. Walsh on obvious passing situations? That whole thing was a cluster. I mean, what were you thinking as it was going on?
Well, I was disappointed. And the more I thought about it, the more I was okay with it, because Gundy has this, and I wrote this yesterday, but Gundy has this safety net where he can say, like, because they brought Walsh in all year, he can kind of say, well, we're trying to run it. But they
on third and 19, they're trying to run it.
Well, and they haven't brought him in at midfield. They brought him in on, like, fourth downs or inside the goal line. And he panicked. Like, he really did. He panicked, subbed in Walsh because he didn't know what else to do. And he felt like if he went conservative, he could win the game, and he got lucky because, again, you know, the penalties that OSU got and Grogan hitting 240-plus yarder. I mean, a lot of stuff happened for Oklahoma State to win that game. But Gundy gets this safety net with Seven and Walsh that he can kind of say, well, you know, I'm just trying to run it, just whatever. But if that happens at any other school where you're you know, second string guy doesn't play, there's a quarterback controversy, and there's not here. And I think that's, you know, Gundy kind of uses that to his advantage, but I don't know. I feel like you got to ride Rudolph, and whatever happens, happens. Like you said, I mean, I mentioned it. Whedon had 9 games where he threw 2 or more picks. You're not going to win games unless you let him throw it. And I get it. Like, you thought you could, you know, just take him out and curtail the interceptions and everything, but
how about this? He's still is in his 7th game. Obviously, he's having confidence issues, and you yank him the first sign of trouble. I mean, next time he throws an interception on the road, he's going to be looking over his shoulder, going, "Oh well, is JW coming in to help the running game?" Air quotes. You know what I mean? I just thought the whole game was just so poorly coached from both sides. But the way Gundy handles his quarterbacks, man, it's been rough over the years. And I thought that was maybe the worst we've ever seen.
Yeah, it was really bad. I mean, do you think that I don't know. I was thinking yesterday about how it's almost like they just don't want to go through any growing pains with Rudolph, you know?
I understand a certain point where if he keeps throwing pick sixes and fumbling the ball for touchdowns, you got to get him out of there at some point. I understand that's probably what they were thinking, but I just, you can't bench him. Like, he is your quarterback. You've made that decision. Like, he is the guy. Like, I don't know what they were trying to do. It was baffling.
Yeah, it really was. What did you think of Rennie Childs?
I thought he looked, to quote Mike Gundy, I think he looked good, not great. I mean, I think that everyone's going a little...
That's page one of Gundy's presser playbook.
Yeah, he likes to play the game. He likes football, cares about his family. I think people are going a little overboard on Rennie Childs. I mean, he looked okay. Like, he had a few decent runs, but it wasn't like they were marching up and down the field. Now, Chris Carson, I think people are down on him. I still think Chris Carson's the better back, but maybe I'm alone on that island. I mean, Rennie Childs is okay. He's an okay running back.
Yeah.
One of the ones going overboard?
Well, I think they, at the very least, need to mix him up a little bit more. Like, I think that they – I don't know. Like, I feel like they just – go straight with one guy and like mix and match him a little bit. Let one guy get a breather and let Childs, you know, try to hit a few holes and see what happens. I don't know. I thought Childs looked better in the second half, but some of that might have been Texas' young defense kind of wearing out.
Yeah, he had a good burst, I guess, as they say. He had a good speed. The problem is they can't run the ball. Like, no. they cannot do it. No. And this running it up the middle off the guards is not going to work, especially as league play moves on. Like, I know Gundy wants to run the ball, but you can't, bro. You got to scheme it out of the game. You got to scheme it. If you're going to run, make it short. Go the Brady route, short passes. That's your running game because you're not running it up the middle. So, I think that's another frustration for OSU fans is you can't run the ball. Well, you got to get creative. Like, you got to figure it out. Just look. I look at Tulsa. Like, look at Tulsa. They couldn't move the ball on air last year. Now they're Baylor reincarnated. Yeah. And why is that? They have an offensive coordinator that knows what he's doing. So get in your meeting room with Yurcich and figure out how to move the ball, because you can't even – they had 1 yard in the fourth quarter. That to me was incredible. Well, so that's a huge issue.
That's the thing. I sometimes, like, when I watch Baylor or I watch TCU or whoever – I wonder philosophically, like, why more teams don't try to do what they're doing. Like, it doesn't seem like – it seems like very much a system thing. Now, you can have guys that are better at it, I guess, but it seems to almost universally work. And so it's like, why do you not do that? I guess people are scared of playing like that on offense because it can create a lot of turnovers. I don't know. It's just – it's interesting to me across college football why more teams don't try to open it up like that.
Yeah, and one coach recently said, well, no one runs Baylor's offense. They're one of a kind. It's like, well, shouldn't you copy that?
Why not? Like,
well, and OSU had a system that worked. Todd Monken in 2012 had three quarterbacks, and they were top five in the country. Their offense was top five with three quarterbacks. So why they went away from the system that was working, I'll never know. So that's where I'm at with OSU football, really.
Todd Monken was posting 600, 650-yard games on offense with J.W. Walsh not throwing it real well.
Like, he didn't even like J.W. Walsh. Remember those quotes? He's like, yeah, well, J.W., he can't make some certain throws on certain sides of the field, so it kind of cuts down our playbook. Well, he's still putting up 600 yards with him.
I know. That went overlooked that year because we thought it was like this natural progression from 2011 into 2012. You went from Whedon to Walsh, and your offense basically –
and Lund and Shelf.
Yeah, basically remained the same, and I don't know. And maybe, again, they turned it over more that year. They had 20 – I looked it up the other day. I think they had 22, 23 turnovers.
Well, as negative as we are about the offense, man, Glenn Spencer is big time. He deserves a raise. Portions of the salary on the coaching staff need to be sliding a little more his way. I mean, the job this guy has done. I mean, he took over a Bill Young unit that, you know, they forced some turnovers, but now they just got – they have freaks on the field. And they force three and outs like no one else. I saw a stat where, like, three or four guys are on, like, all the lists of, like, tackles for loss and sacks. They're getting after the quarterback. They're the defense that OSU's always wanted. And it's just amazing to me that they never really can seem to match up the offense and the defense together.
Yeah.
When they're exceptional on offense, they tend to have a lackluster defense. 2011 was the one year, just because of all the turnovers, that they really matched it up. Going over all the years of OSU history, like 1988 when Gundy was quarterback.
Yep.
Incredible offense, zero defense. 2009 when Dez gets suspended, great defense. Gundy's offense was very hit or miss because they didn't have Dez.
Mostly so miss.
Yeah, Hubert Anyum was your number one wideout back then, so that tells you.
The Dameron Fuchs era.
The Dameron Fuchs, God bless him. But yeah, that's just Glenn Spencer is the real deal, and I don't know how much longer they'll be able to keep him if he keeps doing this.
Yeah, we can save that for the off season.
I mean it to depress you there. Sorry.
No, he's you know, I feel like it's hilarious to watch his interviews after the game because he looks like he's just. Like he legitimately looks like he's just been in a fight with like a middle aged man.
He needs a cut man with like a towel.
Yeah, it's get.
Would you like to? This is a preposterous, ridiculous, in no way sincere question, but I'm gonna ask it anyway. Would you like for him to be head coach in waiting behind Gundy?
Oh gosh. I mean, he'd have to wait like 15 years.
Yeah, I don't know. Remember, Gundy's always talking about how he doesn't want to coach till he's old.
Yeah, but
he wants to go hunting with his boys.
But then this year he said that he hopes to have 10 more years, or I don't know.
Whatever. I mean, it's not happening. It was just, you'd hate to lose a guy like Glenn Spencer because he's so awesome, just in every way.
Yeah, I know. But I don't know. I don't know if he strikes me as the of course, I didn't think Todd Monken was the head coaching type. I didn't think Dana Holgorsen was the head coaching type. But
is Glenn Spencer not the most perfect head coaching type with his warrior poems?
Yeah, but like, yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
I mean, I would run through a wall for that guy.
Warrior poems. Well, I didn't see the pregame one against Texas. I can't remember what it was.
Oh, I didn't. I don't follow him, actually. I see people retweet him all the time. Maybe I should follow him. I'll be inspired.
Uniforms, how'd you feel?
I thought they were great.
Yeah.
I mean, I love that they didn't just, you know, resort to black, white, black, since they've always worn, which is our predictions.
Yeah.
But the chrome helmet's awesome. The tricolor on the road looks great with the white jersey. It really does. I thought it was one of their best road looks they've ever had. What'd you think?
They've been just lights out all year, all four games. Great. Like, just,
yeah.
I mean... You complained about the first week, but it's still a great combo. And then they went with the traditional at home with a twist. And then what was the – I can't remember the Central Arkansas game.
That was, it was black, black, gray?
Yeah, black, black, gray was great.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And then the Texas – I mean, it's been – they've been – they're undefeated in the uniform game as well this year.
I'm sorry. I'm reading Glenn Spencer's poem from UT. It's about Spartan mothers to their sons departing for war, referring to their shield.
Sounds about par for the course.
Yeah, it's. I'm ready to do battle right now. But as far as the game, man, their shirts in Austin, you know, say keep Austin weird. It was just a weird game, and OSU was fortunate to win. So it's. I think, I don't know about you, but I think their ceiling is a lot lower than what I anticipated coming in the year, regardless of what happens. I don't think they're as good as we thought. Now, maybe they'll turn things around on offense and their defense will keep playing like this, but I think it's time to reevaluate their ceiling. I thought they could win two of those three big wins at home, but I think they're going to lose at West Virginia, and I don't know about TCU, Baylor, OU. What about you?
Yeah, I think that's probably right, but also, like, I don't know. It feels like their ceiling and floor are really close together.
Yeah.
Like,
I'd agree with that.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I was talking
to – I don't think they're going to go 7-5 by any means. But, yeah, it's probably in the 10 to 8 ratio or range as far as
maybe like 8 or 9. Like, it's almost like this team's going to win 8 or 9 games, right?
Yeah, I was being generous. You're probably right. 10 seems far from where they are right now.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a 10-1 team. But also, I was talking to Matt a million about this. You know, it's like will OSU play a worse Big 12 game this year? You know, like
K-State could get pretty ugly.
Well, it's really weird because you look at that first quarter and the offense was just awesome. Like that's as good as I've seen the offense look in a long time. Like going even back to last year, they didn't look that good.
Yeah, Rudolph looked like he was going to join the league a year early or something. Nuts.
And then the 98-yard drive in the third quarter was awesome. I mean, that was an unbelievable drive. So you had moments there that it's like.
Well, and it just they threw the ball down the field in those drives, didn't they? I mean, it seems like when they don't, that's when the offense really bogs down. And I trust all those receivers if I'm Rudolph.
Yeah.
All of them. They all can get open. They all can make tough catches. And it seems to me they're throwing over the middle when they were going down the field.
Yeah.
And they got away from that. So it's almost like they're their own worst enemy when it comes to the offense.
I agree. And that's why, you know, that's why Emilian and I were discussing like that. That might be the worst game the offense plays in the Big 12. It might not be, but just because of what they did in the fourth quarter and their struggles running in the second quarter, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how they progress. I was thinking about it yesterday. You know, could that be the Texas A&M 2011 game of this season? Probably not, because I mean, go back to that game. First half, they get shut out, and then they score 28 or 7 in the second half, or 30, whatever.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, that first half that year was way worse than either half of what we just saw last weekend.
Yeah, so, you know, that's a different team. That's a much better offense. But I just feel like I don't know. I feel like if you let go, if you just let the offense do its thing, you're gonna be a good team. But I don't think they will. I really don't.
Well, that sounds depressing.
I know.
Is this the Debbie Downer podcast?
Did you see the Kansas State line?
Was OSU favored by 7?
It went from 3.5 to 8.
Well, I tend to think they're going to win pretty easily. I don't know about you. As much as we bashed them, they're just a different team at home. Doesn't it seem like a game where they'll just get off the tracks early on offense, you know, win that game by 14, 21 points?
Yeah, it does.
K-State's not what they used to be this year. Now, they're still going to be tough, and they're going to make you earn it. But that just seems like a game where Rudolph gets going early. They maybe force a couple turnovers, and they blow them out.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. What else did you see any other games? You were traveling, probably.
Yeah, I was traveling. But the TCU-Tech game was nuts. Dude, Tech. Patrick Mahomes is legit.
Tech is scary.
Tech's going to be a problem for a lot of people in the league, and yeah. I didn't foresee that coming into the year. But that's another discouraging thing about OSU's offense, man. You got Baylor, TCU, Tech, just doing whatever they want.
West Virginia
on offense, and they're going to have to keep up in these games, no matter how good their defense is. They're going to have to score some points.
Yeah.
So that's probably why you and I are so, you know, downtrodden in this podcast as far as their offense goes, because. I mean, OSU used to be kind of the innovators, didn't they? They were the first ones to go to the no huddle in 2005. They started those goofy boards. They're the first ones to – they created the diamond formation at OSU. And now they're running Stanford 2011 offense without Andrew Luck. That's a bad analogy.
They're running like Army's like 1948 offense.
They're running K-State's offense. I don't know. It's some ugly 3 yards in a cloud of dust offense.
Yeah.
But maybe how's Todd Monken doing at Southern Miss, by the way?
not great, I don't think. Yeah.
I'm looking him up right now.
But I don't
they're 2-2.
Well, it kind of got swept under the rug, but I don't know how long they extended Yursich's contract for. Because he had a 2-year deal coming in. I guess it got renewed in the offseason, but I don't know for how long. That kind of be interesting
Those are meant to be broken, Kyle.
Yeah, I know, but
well, the first hit I get's a pistols firing post.
Yeah, good.
What are you? He's the 11th highest paid assistant in the country.
Mike Yursich. Oh, yeah. That's good. That's solid.
OSU fans might start drinking immediately when they hear that.
I need a way to put this podcast out till like 4 or 5 then.
Yeah, it's 5 o'clock somewhere reading that stat.
The 11th. Wait, is that like a current stat?
From the Tulsa World, you linked it. He's the 11th highest paid assistant.
Wow.
Hold on, I got to go back to your quote, because they have a great quote from Gundy. He's done a good job. Mike has taken a lot of heat because we run up such big numbers offensively, and he came in during a time of transition.
Yeah, transition back to me controlling it. I'm going to start calling them – I did this yesterday, but I'm going to start calling them Mike and Mike when I refer to the offense. Like, I'm not going to
– Mike and Mike?
Yeah. It's just
– It's a two-headed monster, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the Mike and Mike offense.
They're one person.
Yeah.
And what does that quote even mean? He's taken a lot of heat because we run up such big numbers offensively? No, that's not why. No. He's taking a lot of heat because the offense stinks. It's nowhere near as good as it used to
be. Well, I think he was saying like you're comparing him to past offenses. Of course we are.
Oh, okay. I didn't get the context there.
Well, but of course we are. Like there's a system in place, yeah. and you're not. We've talked about this for too long. But yeah.
Okay.
Anything else around the country? Your Ducks got smoked on Saturday night.
That felt like the end of an era, didn't it? I think Alabama and Oregon, man, they might be coming back to the pack.
Yeah, Alabama, Georgia this weekend. That's first time in, I think, 73 games Bama's not favored.
That's amazing stat.
Yeah, it's a big game.
It feels like they're kind of coming back to earth. It's wide open this year, other than, Ohio State's cupcake schedule. Man, it could be – it's going to be a crazy year.
Do you think Mike Gundy would – if Les Miles calls him – today.
I want to fly on the wall for that conversation.
Yeah. Basically, I could say anything right now. It'd be awesome. But Leonard Fournette, rest of his career, straight up for Mason Rudolph, rest of his career. What does Mike Gundy do?
I mean, does he say yes within a second or a split second?
What would you do?
Mason Rudolph or Leonard Fournette?
Yeah. Leonard Fournette's only got 20 college games left. Rudolph has like 35.
I mean, come on, man. Leonard Fournette's like Adrian Peterson, yeah, reincarnated.
But is he going to, like, what are you going to do at quarterback?
Well, they obviously like JW a whole lot. They benched Rudolph for a period of time.
I know what Gundy's going to do at quarterback. What are you going to do at quarterback?
I would make the trade. I'd take Fournette, who I love Rudolph. I don't want anybody thinking I don't like Rudolph. I think he's the franchise. But Leonard Fournette's like a team-altering running back. Like, he might be – he's the best player in the country. He's going to win the Heisman.
Easy. It's September 29th.
I mean
– I will bet you whatever you want to bet that he does not win the Heisman.
Well, I got to get some odds on that. That's
pretty... you just said he's going to win it. I don't know what kind of odds you need on that.
I would make the trade. I would play Taylor Cornelius at quarterback and just hand the ball off every time.
The oil baron handing it off to Leonard Fournette.
The oil magnet. No, I would play JW and take my chances with Leonard Fournette and ride my defense. I'd play Fournette both ways. He'd be a middle linebacker and my starting back.
He is crazy. I mean,
oh my gosh,
that's unbelievable.
Speaking of Mike Gundy and Les Miles, last thing, and then we'll go. Remember, I heard that when OSU beat OU back in the Rashawn Woods game, that reporters were standing around, and this was back when Mike Gundy was the young offensive coordinator. He was, like, pissed off that, like, Les made him be conservative. And because remember, that game got kind of – they only won by 10, even though they were up big. And he walked by all the reporters and was like, we would have won by blankety blank if Les would let me call the plays.
Yeah.
And that's how, I guess, Mike used to be when he was like a young assistant. He was very outgoing and would just say whatever to reporters. So it's amazing the transformation. I guess once you become a head coach, just so much rides on wins and losses, you just naturally become a little more conservative. Because he didn't used to be that way. He wanted to be the gunslinger putting up 60.
Yeah.
So
We need to show him some tapes from his playing days or
him, something. He needs to go on a retreat with Holgorsen, Munkin, and Les. Just for Les's zaniness.
Now that's something I want to be on a fly on the wall for.
Yeah, just Monken and Holgorsen alone would be fun.
Okay, last thing. I'll give you the choice. Talk about one of these, not both. Whedon with the Cowboys or the Thunder uniforms?
Thunder uniforms.
Awesome.
I didn't realize this until I was at Media Day yesterday. They are perfect, with one minor, tiny exception that's going to bother me the whole year. The last names being below the number. Yeah. Why did they have to do that? It looks off. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
But hey, that's everything I've been asking for. Orange with OKC on the front, done and done. Looks fantastic. Stupid sunset name aside, they're perfect, other than the last name.
Well, is it true that they sort of wanted – I mean, this can't be true, but that they wanted to combine, like, orange and red?
Oh, yeah. When they came up with the logo, they were like, and that's our color. It's a little bit of red, a little bit of orange, but not too much of each, because they didn't want to offend OU and OSU fans. Who cares? You're the NBA. You're bigger than both.
Yeah. That's like the perfect Presti move right there.
You're above all that. Come on. Yeah. I mean, the players wear orange on their shoes. It's a color. It's not a statement of which school they support. Come on.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I like them too.
Good.
Yeah. We'll talk about Whedon and Joseph Randall next time.
Okay. Sounds good, man.
We got to figure out a guest for Thursday. I can't tease anybody. I do have another former OSU QB kind of in the queue, but he hasn't confirmed yet, so.
Josh Fields? Also Poe guy.
Yeah. No. Rusty Hilger.
Al Pena. I'm just throwing out OSU quarterbacks. Yeah,
no, none of them.
Donovan Woods.
No.
Okay. I'll wait. I'll wait till Thursday.
Okay, Carson. Thanks for hosting with me. And we'll try to figure out this offense by the time we get to our podcast on Thursday.
We will. I hope so. I'm going to be grinding on it.
Okay, we'll talk to you later.
All right, man. See ya.
Bye.